All right. Good morning, everyone. We're glad we have our guys here today. Their Sunday school is being held every other Sunday, so let's listen to their memory verses.
Pray continually first Thessalonians 5:17.
Now, guys, we had a little extra history lesson today. So when you see him carry their pretzels out, you'll move on. How many of you can tell me where did the first pretzel actually originate and why?
Lititz, Pennsylvania. Lititz, Pennsylvania.
That's when it came over here.
Oh.
You get a star. But before that,
it's praying, isn't it, in Germany?
Well, it didn't start in Germany. It started in Italy.
Okay,
a monk who was pastoring a church. He just got so frustrated because he couldn't get his children to remember their prayers. So he called them biscuits. He made biscuits in the shape of praying hands. And every time they did good remembering a prayer, that was their little gift. So passers-by, then travelers going on and into Germany, they took these little things with them. And so Germans, of course, they elaborated on it. They glazed them, they salted them. And then when Mr. Schultz came over, Julius Schultz came over here in Lititz, he formed the pretzel factory. It's still there today, as far as I know, because when we were there last. So that's your little tidbit for today, okay? Kids, you want to read this first one?
Yes.
This is something we should all live by.
We stand tallest and strongest on our knees.
Can anybody tell me what great pastor quotes that all the time? We stand strongest, tallest, and strongest on our knees. Come on, guys.
Charles Stanley.
Okay, Charles Stanley. We stand tallest and strongest when we are on our knees. And why do we say that, guys? Because when we're on our knees,
we pray.
We're praying. And he's our strength, right?
Yes.
Okay. There's your lesson for today.
Good job, guys.
Great.
Thank you. All of you. Thank you. That'll work. You get the idea. All right. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to the house of the Lord. We're glad that you're here this day. And what a beautiful day it is, isn't it? Praise God for it. We got beautiful autumn weather here. We're just about ready here to start, and I think we'll begin with some announcements. Who has something they need to share?
I just want to bring up that next week, you know, everybody, not many people here, but Color Fest weekend, The other church over here is going to be doing apple butter. On Thursday at 8 a.m., they will be across the street in the basement peeling apples. So they asked if there would be anybody that would be available and would like to help peel apples on Thursday morning at 8 a.m. They'll be there probably till lunch because they're going to provide you just a lunch for it as well. But they did ask if there was anybody from our church that would like to participate and help. They'll be in the basement. So when you come in, you can just go around to the basement there and come in. And it's at 8 a.m. they're going to start. And then on Saturday and Sunday, the fire company normally has their ham sandwich stand at the park or down at the carnival grounds at the park. This year, it's going to be right across the street. So the firemen will be doing the ham sandwiches and stuff over here at the activities building. The Mount Tabor Church will still have their food and apple butter and stuff at the park, along with everything. So if you're going for the ham sandwiches, they're going to be across the street this year instead of down in the park.
Thank you so much for that clarity. All right.
I got out here late. That's the only thing with teaching. I go back and then I'm out here late. So you're going to have to hold your tail for a bit.
That's right. Thank you, sister. And I don't mind. Brother Bob?
Just to mention, back, I don't know where it comes from, but back in the prayer room, there's a lot of bags back there that have been brought in, and it's got clothes and toys and everything else in it. And if anybody knows anything about it, please let me know, because somehow, some way, we have someone that loves to put stuff here and don't mention nothing. And I don't like that.
I don't know if that's connected to the bake sale. There was talk about having the yard sale too, but maybe it's just the bake sale.
No, the yard sale things are in what was actually the school.
Okay.
Place.
Okay.
And Deb's aware of that because she's going to be here.
Okay.
That is not part. What's in the prayer room? I did not bring here. It's not part of it.
Okay.
That reminds me, if anybody wants to donate any items for the bake sale, we're going to set up at 7. Start setting up at 7 a.m., providing the weather isn't a washout. Carol gave me an idea to see if we could go to the fire company. I might have to check on that, but I don't want to do that if I don't have to. I want to have it here at the church. So any bake items you want to bring, don't mark them, because we're going to do by donation.
Okay.
A lot of times, rather than mark it, if you ask for a donation, the Lord works upon their hearts. It's a lot better. So. So don't forget. If you want to see me, if you want to drop stuff off to my house Friday evening or something, let me know ahead of time and I'll make sure I'm home.
Okay, great. Thank you, Deb, again.
If anybody hears or knows anything about these auxiliary bags or goodies back there, please make it known.
Okay.
So we know what to do with it.
Thank you, Bob. Doris?
We'll announce there's cookies back here for the people who have birthdays in October.
Thank you. All right. So with that, who has an October birthday? We've got one or two in our family. Ralph? All right. So why don't we sing together that song? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Please help yourself on the way out. All right. I think that covers most of our announcements. The disaster booklets are also back there, so feel free to take one of those along and mark November 13th on your calendar as well. Without further ado, let us begin our worship with this prelude. Call to worship is, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart, for your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. Would you pray with me, please? God in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day, your day, and we've come into your house to worship you, and we ask that your Holy Spirit indeed would come and be present. Help us to worship you in spirit and truth. And we ask, Lord, that your will would be done in this hour together. I pray that you, as we open your word, Lord, you will illuminate the scriptures for us and apply them to our hearts today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our first hymn is number 141.
We're going to do the first and last verses.
You may be seated. We do want to take time to pray together and hear what's on your heart today. Who would like to begin? Joy or concern? Yes, Linda?
My family that I asked about before, and also Tara.
Others?
I'd like to keep our list.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Jerry.
I'd like to keep my list on there of unspoken, but I'd also like to keep my neighbors on the prayer list. Mr. Ward passed away with a massive heart attack, and I'd like to keep his wife and the boys.
Okay, thank you. And now, Dan. Praise God. Happy anniversary.
Awesome.
Wonderful. Others?
We have a large group that's still suffering from aches, pains, and everything else, and we want to keep each one of them in our prayers. The Lord knows who they are, and they know who they are, so I'm not going to try to name them for fear of forgetting some of them.
That's right. Yeah. Thank you. It's great to have Sister Dolores back today.
Amen. And we need to keep our nation of America, as well as the rest of the world, in our prayers, because some of the things we hear going on each day is really, really concerning.
Yes. We think we have it tough here. Been getting news reports from Sister Marie Brown, and our brothers and sisters and pastors in the Far East are experiencing quite more drastic situations with COVID and political unrest in their countries, and some have had difficulties not to go out on the streets, and so difficulties getting food. Pastors are delivering rice and all the other staples to their members, taking great risk to do so. So please keep our brothers and sisters in the Lord in your prayers. Any others? Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you this day, we're mindful of our many blessings. And as we're in the midst of the harvest season, Lord, we're especially mindful of the bounty in which we have. You have blessed us, and you have blessed this country. And Lord, we're just so grateful for the opportunities that we have that others do not. Thank you for the bounty of food and opportunities that are availed to us. And so, Lord, we pray you'd help us to be a conduit to share all of these blessings with others around us and those in need. And so we just... Lord, are mindful of those who are in great peril, those who are having difficulties because of this worldwide pandemic, those that are having difficulties because of natural disasters, Lord, there are civil war, so many things, Lord. When you look down on this planet, it must grieve your heart. And Lord, we are just grateful for the chance that we have to intercede. And so thank you for the opportunity to come boldly before your throne of grace this day. And we do so in the name of Christ. We pray for those that are in need of health and blessings in that area. And so Lord, pray for the ones that have been on our lists. We ask that you might bless family members, be with neighbors, comfort those who have lost loved ones. We pray that you'd help those that are in need of a job. We pray, Father, that you would bless our church and all of our church members. We know many want to be here and can't for various reasons. And so we just ask, Lord, you would move in a mighty way. We pray, Father, for our country. We pray for our president. You asked us to intercede and to lift up our leaders. And so, God, we ask that you might move in their situation, help them, the decisions that they make. We pray you would surround them with wise counsel, counsel that depends upon your word. And so, Lord, help the decisions that they make and the programs that they institute that would be for the betterment of all, and that we might live lives that are peaceable. We pray for Israel, Lord, and for Jerusalem in particular. Thank you, Lord, for this capital, world capital of great importance, not just politically, but religiously. And thank you for that message from David Jeremiah here this morning. And we ask, Lord, you would continue to move. We ask your blessings, Lord, and we pray that you would teach us anew. And so, God, there are so many things on our hearts, and we're just going to pause now for a moment of silence and lift up to you those that we have been unable to put into words. Now hear us as we pray the Lord's Prayer that you taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We want to turn to our second hymn today and encourage you to stand with me and to share number 110. Our scripture for today comes from Hebrews. I'll be reading the first few verses and the first part of chapter 2. Oh, that's right. We don't want to forget that. Okay. We had special music planned for today. Thank you for reminding me, Jerry. Brother Brad, are you ready to share a number with us?
Don't cross the line, huh? I was thinking, one should never pass up the opportunity to thank God for the privilege that we have to share the gospel in word of song. So I thank God for this privilege. I thank the pastor for these precious moments. And I was thinking, with what's going on in the world, have people lost the privilege to worship God? Have they given up on serving God? And what else does God have to prove to people that He is real? I struggle with a lot of songs, and I kind of like to get back to the songs about the cross of Christ, His grace, love, and mercy. And somehow this nation has seemed to be drifting away from what's really important. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I'll lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I'll lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Great grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all my sin. Great grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all my sin. For where sin did abound, grace did that much more abound. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. There's a cross standing between me and forever. To die in sin is a choice left up to me. Yes, there's a cross standing between me and forever. If I go down, I'll have to pass right by that tree. Yes, there's a cross standing between me and forever. To die in sin is a choice left up to me. Yes, there's a cross standing between me and forever. If I go down, I'll have to pass right by that tree. If I go down, I'll have to pass right by that tree. He knew me, yet he loved me. He whose glory makes the heavens shine. So unworthy of such mercy, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. He knew me, yet he loved me. He whose glory makes the heavens shine. So unworthy of such mercy, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I love you. I love you, for that's what Calvary said. I love you, I love you, I love you, written in red. I love you, I love you, for that's what Calvary said. I love you, I love you, I love you, written in red. I love you, written in red. Amen.
Brother, we appreciate your willingness to share. Bob, you have one more thing?
I just have one thing to say. I don't know whether you mentioned it or not. Tracy's going to be off next week. Got some family time to spend together. And so Dylan Reinhart, one of the young men that did the service or so back in January when he was at his sabbatical, one that he's got a beard, but he's got no hair on his head. So if you remember him, he will be here next week to be our pastor.
Thank you. Yes. Ethan turns 21. So we're going to be celebrating with him. And Wesley and Paige are coming down from Pennsylvania. And we're going to have a conference call with Matthew and Kaylee in Tennessee. So we're looking forward to a little family time. The scripture reading for today is found in your bulletin, also on page 1372 here in your pew Bible. Let me share these words from God's Word. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, in upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through the angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels, but one man testified in a certain place, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the Son of Man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things of subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom all are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we pause in your presence again to ask your blessings. We pray that the words that I speak and the meditation of our hearts and our minds would be acceptable in your sight. And help us, Lord, to glean from the scriptures that which you would have for us today. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been there for almost 200 years, down a long lane, providing shelter and a place to call home for several generations. Located in the southern part of Frederick County and on an ideal spot near a natural spring for water, this old farmhouse served its purpose in the height of the agricultural era. With a stone spring house and a small pond nearby, along with a good-sized barn and wagon shed and corn crib close at hand, the old home place watched as children played in her yard and saw the rotation of crops planted and harvested each year from its gentle rolling hills. Now she stands empty. The sounds of voices no longer heard in her walls. The root cellar remains dark and damp while the sunlight peels paint and plaster from her upstairs walls. Wood floors no longer shine with foot traffic or cleaning care. The old fireplaces are boarded up. No longer do they get hot to warm the house in winter. The wood pile out back going to waste, not needed inside. The tin roof is rusty. The exterior needs a coat of paint, and the windows need caulking to keep the cold out. This was once a fine big home to raise a family in, but now it is empty due to abandonment and neglect. No one lives there anymore, and the last family that lived there moved out about 20 or 30 years ago. Now it's just an empty shell. Stands as a reminder of years gone by. Its future is bleak. Perhaps it will be replaced by a new modern home, with all the conveniences that we desire. But it will be placed on a farmland that has been there in this family for generations. Neglect can take various forms and have various results that are usually undesired. When we neglect to keep up a house or a property, it's easy to see the results that take place over time. When we neglect proper maintenance on our vehicles, they may experience poor performance, or they may leave us by the side of the road someday. When pets are neglected, we call it cruelty to animals. When the elderly are mistreated and not given the care that they need, we call it abuse. When we don't care to take care of ourselves enough, when we neglect doctor routine checkups, we may have more serious health issues. When friendships and relationships are not maintained, we lose that close connection with another person. And when marriages are neglected, they can take the form of domestic violence and even infidelity. Even in science, The second law of thermodynamics is a basic truth that things usually go from order to disorder. And so we are probably most outraged when we see neglect that hurts someone. So usually when we hear the word neglect, we usually think of children. Children not being properly cared for. Recently in Florida, a mother, Tanya, age 28, with two small children, ages 1 and 2, was charged with neglect, having left her children alone in squatting conditions. A used marijuana cigarette was found on the table nearby and a plate of moldy spaghetti in a messy apartment. A concerned neighbor had seen her leave earlier and then later, looking into the window, she went into the outside window and looked in, saw the children in there alone, and so she called the police. When they came, they found the children had soiled garments on. The mother was charged, and she tried to blame the babysitter for leaving them alone. The 18-year-old said that she had only gone out for 30 minutes to go to the store, but later changed her story to say that she wasn't there at all that day. It was unclear to the police whether the marijuana was hers or the boyfriend's, who is the father of the children, and whether or not he would be charged as well. Mother said that she thought that she was a good parent. She was unable to have children, and she was thrilled to death when she got pregnant, and she loved her children, and it wasn't not as bad as everyone was trying to make it out to be. While it's easy for us to judge her, it seems that she was definitely negligent. Webster defines negligent to neglect as to fail to perform an act or duty, especially through carelessness. To fail to attend to something or to fail to care for someone. To disregard or to omit something. In the Bible, it's a rare word. It's a word that's not used very often. It's only found about a dozen times. And in the scriptures, mostly in the New Testament, we find it's also referring to that which is careless, or to make light of, or to not regard something, to not care for someone. In our scripture for today in Hebrews chapter 3, it says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" And that's what I'd like to focus on today. Last week we talked about the danger of murmuring and complaining. Today, the danger of neglect. Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, "Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on the hands of the eldership." And Peter wrote, "For this reason I have not to be negligent to remind you always of the things, though you know and are established in the present truth." In Matthew, we hear that we're not to be negligent to hear things and to bring them to the church if need to be. And the word there means to mishear or to imply disobedience. In Acts 6, we see that the widows were neglected the daily giving out of the food. They were overlooked, sometimes disregarded. And in Colossians, it says, see here, we're supposed to not neglect the body. There is one scripture in the Old Testament that talks about being misled or being deceived, to neglect. And Hezekiah says to his sons and to the children of Israel, he says, "My sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, that you should minister unto him and burn incense." So they were not to neglect the duties of the priesthood. In the book of Hebrews, it talks here, the writer of this letter is very much concerned and aware of the Old Testament, and he uses this as a part of his theme. In the beginning of the Hebrews here, he's lifting up the superiority of Christ, over the prophets, and that Christ is the imprint of God. And he explains that the greater than, he is greater than, it's an argument for superiority. Greater than the angels, greater than Moses, greater than things that we have worshipped before. And so in this argument here, he talks about this great salvation that we have, and he warns against neglect. Christ is the perfect man, and he has brought about a perfect salvation, and we should not neglect it. Salvation is indeed a great truth. It's one that we sometimes put aside. Many times people don't want to emphasize it, as Brother Bradley was sharing about the focus on the cross so often is put off to the side. But it is a great truth that we should not disregard. In the very name of Jesus, the name that is above every other name, means salvation. Jehovah saves. And so when we say Jesus, we are talking about salvation. The word salvation embraces many doctrines. It includes atonement, substitution, imputation, propitiation, redemption, remission, justification, adoption, reconciliation, regeneration, sanctification, and glorification. These are all great doctrines of the Bible. The implication, I think, is very transparent here for the writer of Hebrews. God was in Christ, and he's in the gospel, and therefore this message of salvation was to be heeded. To fail to pay attention to this is a threat of judgment, and so it is and should be for us today. And so how about you? Is there anything that you're negligent about? Is there something or someone in your life that you're neglecting? Is there something in your relationship with the Lord that needs to be attended to? What about your faith and your relationship with Jesus? Jesus once told a parable about a king making arrangements for the wedding of his son. In that parable, he explains that he sent out his servants. He invited people to come, and they were not willing to come. And so he sends out other servants, and he invites them because all things are ready. The wedding preparations have been prepared, and everything is ready, and he just needs the people to come. And so he sends out additional servants. And we read in verse 5 here of Matthew 22, it says, "But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business." They made light of it. They neglected the invitation. And they missed the wedding. And Jesus ends this parable by saying that many are called, but few are chosen. The danger of neglect. It's an easy one to miss. It is one that is very easy to see happen over a course of time. Often it's just not doing anything. The results can be disastrous. If we do little or nothing at all, we can at times cause great harm. And there's also the warnings about shipwrecking our faith and missing out on the full blessings of God. And even worse, without the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives, we can receive the judgment of God. Here's some quotes that I came across about neglect. From the ancients, Socrates says a prudent man should neglect no circumstances. Plato says that if a man neglects education, he walks lame to the end of his life. And Aesop says, whoever neglects old friends for the sake of new deserves what he gets if he loses both. Our patriots said these words, Benjamin Franklin, neglect mending a small fault and 'twill soon be a great one. Samuel Johnson said, he that thinks he can afford to be negligent is not far from being poor. And William Penn said, I expect to pass through this world but once. Any good, therefore, I can do, let me do it now. Modern mystics have added these words. Walt Disney, a man should never neglect his family for business. J.K. Rowling, indifference and neglect often do much more damage than outright dislike. Jim Rohn, neglect starts out as an infection and then becomes a disease. I like these religious quotes. One man says, negligence is the rust of the soul that corrodes through all of her best resolves. Rust of the soul. And Jonathan Edwards, the great evangelist, said, how can you expect to dwell with God forever if you so neglect and forsake him here? How can we expect dwell with God forever if we neglect him. So we should heed the caution of Hebrews to watch out for neglect, to consider the personhood of Jesus, and to serve him, to continue to serve him, to reflect on his majesty is one of the themes here in the beginning of the book of Hebrews. He is greater than the prophets, greater than those that have come before, greater than even if an angel should appear, greater than Moses, greater than our forefathers. Jesus' majesty and power and glory, it is something to behold. And the salvation that he brings, we should not neglect. Well, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. And so the old farmhouse that I referred to earlier, here is a picture of the front of it and a picture of the back of that house. And this house is a house where Pat's father grew up, Wilbur Culler, for a number of years. We believe he was probably born there. And a number of years we would drive by. It was not too far from where we took the boys to school. And so occasionally we would drive down around that way and say, to you know, this is where your grandfather was born and this is where he grew up. And we would sometimes take pictures in the spring and the fall of the year. You could see the place from the road the best. And now we learned that Pat's distant cousin, probably a second or third cousin, owns the property. And so we got in touch with Jeannie, and she was glad to meet us. And so this spring we had an opportunity to meet her there, and she opened up the home and showed it to us. And we were able to take a few pictures to reminisce what the place was like when Wilbur was there growing up. It was kind of disheartening to see it in such ruin, but she said she hoped that they might build a new home there on the property. And so there was hope for future generations. We also have this brick. This brick comes from the house that Pat's mother grew up in, and it was down by New Windsor. And this home was a beautiful home in its time. It was well kept up, and now years later, after abuse, neglect, and abandonment, it was torn down and burned, and the only thing that remains there is the farm ground, the farmland. It's kind of sad to see these things take place. We see them over and over again, particularly the nature of farms today. Many are not able to keep them up to pay their taxes on them, and oftentimes suffer neglect and fall into ruin. The house that I grew up in, there's a picture of the farm that I come from. And this farm is an old stone house, about 300 years old. It is now standing vacant as well. Probably will suffer the fate of neglect. It was once the home of a Revolutionary War hero in our area, and families down through the century have lived there. My stepfather bought it in the 50s, and they farmed for over 50 years and retired and sold it to a large company, and the company is farming out the land, but they're just letting the house sit idle. And so it is really difficult to go by once this farm was a beautiful property, now in ruin. You know, when we see a property or we see a home that is neglected, it's easy for us to understand the consequences. A little harder for us to comprehend in our own life, in our spiritual life, if we neglect certain things, what will take place. There's another example that I wanted to share, and that is that of the Fairview Chapel. If you go down to Boyer's Mill Road, there is an old stone church, very much like Arlington Valley Chapel, with no electricity and no running water. But back in the 40s, that congregation fell in neglect. The membership died off, and There weren't enough people to keep it up, and so it sat abandoned and emptied for many years. The roof caved in, and trees grew up inside the sanctuary, and it was just the empty shell walls there. And then Peggy Johnson in the 70s rallied the community together, and there were many new homes that were built around that area. And she was able to pull together a group of people, and they cleaned it up and rebuilt it and put a new roof on it. And it continues to serve as a place of worship today. They don't have services there Sunday morning. You can't join it as a membership, but it is an ecumenical service every Sunday night at 7 o'clock. They have different ministers from the community come in and preach and have a wonderful service there. And so hopefully it will continue to be a place of worship for years to come. Our own building here, if we did not keep up the maintenance, if we did not keep up the work on this building, might suffer the same effect, might suffer the same history. But fortunately, you have put your heart and soul into this place and have been able to maintain this as a place of worship for many generations and hopefully for years to come. And so it's important for us to watch out for neglect. I put the tape up here today to just signify the caution, the dangers that are around us and need to be heeded. And particularly the writer of Hebrews has about five warnings that he gives. This one, the warning of neglect, is the first warning that he gives. And we want to talk about those in the month to come. The danger of neglect. Easy to see in property, harder to see in relationships, and particularly in our spiritual growth. And so these are areas that we want to continue to work on, and not to neglect, but to focus on. And so we encourage you to keep up your daily devotions, keep up regular church attendance. It is important. Keep up growing spiritually. Do what you need to in order to continue that relationship, to maintain that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is so vital in the day that we have. The salvation that he gives is great, and it is worthy of all the effort, all the time that we can put into it to continue to be a part of the body of Christ. And so I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters in Christ, to watch out for neglect. Watch out for the danger of neglect. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, our provider and protector, the Ancient of Days, we come before you as children of God. Brothers and sisters in the faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son. And God, we just want to thank you today for such a great salvation. Thank you for the cross. Lord, thank you for all that you have offered to us in his name. And Lord, we just want to pause to ask that you would forgive us for any way that we have failed to obey you, failed to keep our relationship on the front burner. Help us, Lord, to not neglect the things of God. We pray, Lord, you would prevent cultural shift and drift. Lord, to help us not to go the way of our society, but to remember the light of your word. And so, Lord, we pray you would not allow us to drift or neglect you, to take this warning from the writer of Hebrews very seriously. And, Lord, set in our hearts an anchor for our souls. Help us to cling to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. It's not by works, but by faith in him. And we pray, Lord, that we would not experience the dangers of drifting, but to keep up our daily devotions, keep up our regular church attendance, keep up our spiritual growth. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 323. Would you join me in standing?
Thank you.
today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Have a good week. God bless.